So, Dr. Duncan, you've talked about systematic theology and given us a definition of that. A lot of us have heard the term biblical theology as a totally different discipline. Can you define biblical theology for us and tell us the difference?
Biblical theology is the study of the Bible from the standpoint of redemptive history. Biblical theology studies the Bible diachronically. It studies the Bible historically. It moves progressively from one era of redemptive history to the next, highlighting the unified plan of God's salvation. So biblical theology might ask, what can we learn about sin in the time of the patriarchs, in the time of Moses, in the time of David, and in the time of the New Covenant, Jesus' ministry, or in the ministry? And it would look at that theme across the course of time and see aspects that are highlighted in different eras of God's revelation. Systematic theology, again, asks the question topically, what does the whole Bible say about sin? Biblical theology is especially interested at the unfolding revelation of God in history. And so it's moving chronologically while the systematic theology is working topically. They complement one another. Biblical theology and systematic theology are friends. You can't do good biblical theology without systematic theology. You can't do good systematic theology without biblical theology. You have to have them both.
Is it? No, I didn't turn it on. But I have a loud voice, so you heard all that.
A lot of people in here are interested in Calvinism, are Calvinists, have explored Calvinism. I have two questions on that topic. Can you suggest some books or resources for people who are just being introduced to Reformed theology?
If you are new to Reformed theology and you want something to read on that topic, there is a little book by B.B. Warfield called The Plan of Salvation, which would be a very good book. It's 100 pages. You read it in one sitting, but it's deep enough that you could chew on it for weeks and weeks and weeks and not exhaust all the richness of it. There's also a little book by John Murray called Redemption Accomplished and Applied. He gave it as Sunday school lessons at a church in Philadelphia. But when I read it in seminary, I had to read it with a dictionary open. Don't be taken by surprise. It's really good stuff. But, you know, he uses some very big words. And so you have to be ready for that. But those are two very good books. Now, at a more popular level, the book Knowing God by J.I. Packer is a beautiful exposition of the doctrine of God from a Reformed perspective. And, those would be some.
In a similar vein, if you adhere to Calvinism or some other system of doctrine, Arminianism also, does that not stifle just simple biblical teaching, learning, etc.? How does a system of doctrine, how does that impact our understanding of the Bible?
Certainly, you could allow any system of theology could be imposed on the text of Scripture in a way to make the Bible say one thing, whether it says that or not. So any system of theology could be inappropriately imposed on the text of Scripture. But everybody has a system of theology, especially the people who tell you that they don't. When somebody tells you, just like a person who says that I don't hold to philosophy. Well, everybody has a philosophy. Some know it and some don't, and some have good philosophies and some have bad philosophies. But if you think you don't, you're going to slide your philosophy under the door where people can't check it. And it's the same way with the system of theology. Everybody has a system of theology. So what's best is if you understand what your system is, and that when you go to Scripture, you test your system against the Scripture. The best theological system is, of course, derived from the Scripture. But we can't go to the Scripture with blank slates. You know, we all have presuppositions. The question is, do our presuppositions square up with what the text of the Scripture says? And so there's sort of a circular motion that goes on. We test our presuppositions by Scripture. Scripture then informs our presuppositions so that the next time we go back to the Bible, our presuppositions have been honed and sharpened and have been brought under the control of Scripture.
On that note, what is the relationship of philosophy to systematic theology?
Yeah, systematic theology does its work both with the awareness of church history, of historical theology, which is the development of theology over the course of the history of the church, and with an awareness of philosophy. Because philosophy has interacted with the church over the course of the last 2,000 years, and you have to be aware of some of those debates in order to do good theology. For instance, there may be some of you here tonight who are from Roman Catholic backgrounds. Philosophy deeply impacted the way Roman Catholic theologians in the early Middle Ages articulated their doctrine of the presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. And if you don't know just a little bit about Aristotle and the different causes, material causes, formal causes, then you won't understand Thomas Aquinas' doctrine of transubstantiation. So systematic theology has to be aware of some of the philosophical discussions because those have impinged on how doctrine has been formulated over the years.
To switch a little bit, we can definitely say the Bible itself is not a systematic theology. Does that fact not undermine systematic theology? What would you say to that?
Yeah, right. No, the Bible was not written like a systematic theology. And some of you might well say, thank heavens. The Bible comes to us in a whole variety of forms. The Bible consists of letters, laws, stories, records, genealogies, exhortations. It comes in a manifold form that makes it very interesting and engaging. And systematic theology has to take that and work it into a topically coherent whole. But you can't avoid doing systematic theology. Again, we're about to look at the study of the Trinity. And given that the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but all Orthodox Christians say that the doctrine of the Trinity is an essential Christian truth, that fact alone commits you to systematic theology. Because you have to then put together what the Bible says about God, about the triune God, in order for Christians to understand something that we say is at the core of being a Christian. It's one of the things that separates us from Jews and Muslims. But it requires systematic theology because you can't just go to one verse in the Bible and produce the doctrine of the Trinity.
If God is known by His self-disclosure, being that He's a spirit and we can't know Him unless He decides for us to, and the Bible is that self-disclosure, then can't we say that everyone knows God by simply reading the Bible?
Boy, that is the perfect segue into my next talk. And can I just hold, because that's exactly where I'm going to pick up on in this talk.
Can you further explain the principle of thinking God's thoughts after Him?
Yeah. The principle of thinking God's thoughts after Him. If I can go to the board here for 1 second. Theologians in the Reformation age talked about two kinds of theology. archetypal and ectypal theology. Archetypal theology is the knowledge of God as God knows himself. Ectypal theology is the knowledge that we have of God because he has disclosed himself to us. Clearly, because we are finite and God is infinite, we can't know God as comprehensively as God knows himself. We even understand this in human relations. You know, a man can love a woman for 40 years and still be learning things about her. Because only a woman can disclose herself in relationship. And you're learning and learning and learning. Well, think about that when you transpose that into a relationship where you're finite and God is infinite. We're always learning about God. We will be in eternity with God forever, and we will never exhaust the knowledge of God. We will know, if I can speak in chronological categories, we will know God better every day of eternity, eternally, and never know everything that there is to know about him. Because we are finite, and he is infinite. And so, when we say it's important to think God's thoughts after him, we're recognizing, whoa, because I'm finite, it's really important for me to not get imaginative and creative in a way that takes me in a direction of thinking about God in a way that God has not told me to think about him, or else I'll go off the rails. So theologians emphasized, we don't have archetypal theology. Only God has archetypal theology. Our job is to think about God the way he has revealed himself to us in his word. And that's thinking God's thoughts after him.
All right, we'll do two more. John Calvin says in the opening of his famous book, The Institutes, we must know ourselves to know God. What does that mean?
Yeah, right before he says that, he essentially says that almost all the knowledge that we possess consists of two categories: the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. And then he goes on to say, you can't know yourself without knowing God, and you can't know God without knowing yourself. One of the things that means is, until you understand your dependence on God and your sinfulness, you can't know the God of creation and redemption. Because the God of creation is completely sovereign. He's not dependent on you, but you're dependent on him. And the God of redemption is holy. You're not, and you need the redemption that he provides. So you really can't understand him unless you understand your dependence, your finitude, and your sin. So you have to know those things about yourself before you're even in a position to know God.
Last one. Given proper structure to hide behind, who is more deadly, David with a slingshot or Samson with a jawbone?
Oh,
somebody,
wow.
Claim that one if they would like.
Wow, I give up. I don't know. What do you think, Corey?
I'd have to go Samson.